Shalom. From YahweH.name, this is Stefania with a program about idolatry in 2016. And we want to replace the other former programs from 2011 and 2012. And all the scriptures now, the scriptures dealing with idolatry. Then we'll have a story about Carl the Gardener. A very compassionate story, kind of a missionary guy. I assume it was somewhere overseas, and he was beaten up by a bunch of hoodlums. So we'll tell about Carl the Gardener. 1 Corinthians 5, as we begin, and 1 Corinthians 6, Jeremiah 3, Hosea will be how we'll start out here. Hosea will begin with chapter 4 and then go back to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. Okay, so keep your bookmarker in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6, because we're going to flip back there. So that's 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11. We're not to keep company with sexually immoral people. And we'll perhaps get into that a little deeper. It concerns the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Verse 8 says, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. That's physical and spiritual fornicators there. Not to have unity with all the different Elohim of the world and those who worship them. Yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, verse 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company of any man that is called a brother. Any man that is called a brother. So there's a distinctive qualification. If this person is called a believer, or that person is a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or an extortioner, with such as one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without us? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, YahweH judge. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. See also 1 Corinthians 11:30. No, not to eat. 1 Corinthians 11:30. We're not to even eat with these people who call themselves believers, who have religious fellowship, who belong to that Sodomite-type church or some other Elohim other than YahweH. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, neither fornicators or adulterers will inherit the kingdom of heaven. I think it is. Let's see, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Know you not that the unrighteous, the leavened, shall not inherit the kingdom of YahweH? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor effeminate, nor idolaters, or adulterers, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of YahweH. And such were some of you, but now you are washed. Yeah, in other words, washed by the blood of the Lamb, by Messiah, Yahusha. But you are sanctified, but you are justified, or made right, in the name of YahweH, the Savior, Messiah, YahweH the Messiah, and by the Spirit of our Elohim. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 6. As we get warmed up here on this new program about idolatry, and we need to keep our robes pure and white, keep our spiritual selves, our sin account to zero, to null. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3 now and really get into it. Here, and YahweH said unto me, in Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, Yahu, chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. And then we'll go to Hosea after this. And I'll come back again to Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Okay, is everybody there now? Okay, 6 through 11 of Jeremiah 3, verse 6. Yahweh said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up upon her high mountain, and under every green tree, and there has played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, Turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when, for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, talking about spiritual adultery here, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister, you know, a bill of divorce for fornication. In the finding out in Deuteronomy 22 that I found her not a maid. She was not a virgin. So we need to be a wise virgin. So I had given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Yehuda feared not, but went and played the harlot also, or the whore also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all of her treacherous sister, Yehuda, or Judah, has not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith Yahweh, or pretending, or trying to buffalo. It's one word we use in the West. Don't try to buffalo me. Don't try to fool me, but try to pretend that they were being sincere with Yahweh. Of course, he knows our heart. Verse 11, And Yahweh said unto me, or said unto Jeremiah, The backsliding Israel has justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Israel tried to make herself of a better reputation than she was. She had that self-esteem, that high self-esteem, but it was not judging righteously about herself. She justified herself more than treacherous Judah and tried to make it all Kodesh. And then he said in Hosea chapter 1 that I put her away and gave her a certificate of divorce. Let's go to Hosea near the end of the so-called Old Testament. And it talks about that the land has been defiled by our sins, by our pollutions. Israel has committed great harlotry by departing from Yahweh. In Hosea 1, verse 2, the beginning of the word of Yahweh by Hosea. And Yahweh said to Hosea, Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from Yahweh. So it is possible to depart from Yahweh. There is no such thing as extreme eternal security. And then chapter 4 now we find in Hosea, the people are asking counsel from wooden idols, and they have that spirit of a harlotry. Or idolatry. The spirit of harlotry is in us at times. And we think that we can fool ourselves, we can fool Yahweh, we can fool everybody. Hosea 4:11, Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err. And they have gone a-whoring from under their Elohim. Now that word stocks there, I've taken counsel at their stocks. You could look that up in the some of the Jewish paraphrase scriptures. Or E-sword. Or E-5 in Jeremiah 3:9. That expression, stones and with stocks, refers to idolatry. Reading from another version, a Jews for Messiah version, it says, It happened that through her frivolous prostitution, she polluted the land and committed adultery with stones and with wood. Yet after this, all her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with her whole heart, but only insincerely. It is a declaration of Yahweh that Yahweh said to me, backsliding Israel has proved herself more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Go, proclaim these words toward the north, saying, return, backsliding Israel. Yahweh says, I will no longer frown on you, for I am merciful, says Yahweh. I will not keep a grudge forever, only acknowledge your iniquity, for you sinned against Yahweh, your Elohim, and scattered your favors to foreign gods, or Elohim, under every green tree. You have not obeyed my voice. It is a declaration of Yahweh. And then in chapter 4, he reiterates, if you will return, O Israel, return to me, declares Yahweh. If you will put your detestable things out of my sight, then you will not waver. You will swear as Yahweh lives, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness. As Yahweh lives, in truth, justice, and righteousness, the nations will bless themselves in him, and in him they will glory, or they will give him praise and splendor. And then that part about stones and stocks in Hosea is next. So, in Hosea 4:10, in the Jews for Messiah version, they have eaten but will not be satisfied, they have fornicated but will not increase, for they have stopped giving heed to Yahweh. Prostitution and wine, even new wine, it takes away understanding. My people consult their wooden idol, and their divining rod informs them. So that was in verse 12. In the King James, it says, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. And so that means they consult their wooden idol, and their divining rod informs them. Today, that would, of course, be going to the computer and asking it any question and trusting in all of these different questions and answers that are given us sometimes by the computer folks. For a spirit of prostitution leads them astray, and they have been a prostitute out from under their Elohim. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and on the high places, burn incense, oak, poplar, terebinth, for its shade is good, or terebinth. There. Okay. So verse 13, Hosea 4:13, they sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow is good thereof. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. Remember, evil communication corrupts good manners, or corrupts good fellowship, according to the Apostle Paul in his letters. Verse 14, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores. And they, that is our leaders, they sacrifice with harlots. That is Israel. They sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that does not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. And come not you into Gilgal, neither go you up to Bethaven, nor swear. And it says Lord in the King James there. It means Yahweh. I looked that up. Hebrew 30:68, YHVH. Nor swear Yahweh liveth. For Israel slides back as a backsliding heifer. Now Yahweh will feed them as a lamb in a large place. But Ephraim of the one of the tribes there in Israel. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Let us alone, because we're deep into idolatry at times. We want to have fellowship with just about anybody sometimes, just because it just seems so good. The brotherhood of man and that great love that we think we have for one another, that they love us so much, but not in truth, not by the Spirit of Yahweh, and not in the Word of Yahweh, not in truth. Oh, and by the way, when they called upon Yahweh, they swear, Yahweh liveth. Here in chapter 4, we can go back to chapter 2 of Hosea, 2:15. Let's read that now about who they're actually calling on at this time, at this present time. Verse 15, and I will give her, her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Mitzrayim, or Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, Hebrew word 3068, Yahweh, YHVH, that thou shalt call me Ishi, Hebrew 3:76, and shall call me no more Bailey, Hebrew 11:80. For I will take away the names of Balaam, Hebrew 11:68, Balaam, out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. In verse 20, Hosea 2:20, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know, Yahweh. Oh, isn't it going to be great? We're upcoming here is the feast of Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets. The feast of trumpets is just before us at this time, just a day away, and it symbolizes the second coming. It's a shadow of things to come, Paul says there in Colossians chapter 2:16, which are a shadow of things to come. We're very excited about this feast, but also the fulfillment, the final end, the goal of this Feast of Trumpets is to be in the presence of Yahweh, have our garments pure and spotless as we enter into the throne room, for to forever be in the presence and the authority under to submit and surrender, to lift up our hearts and hands and surrender to the Mighty One, the King of Kings, the Master of all the universe. Yes, He is the Elohim of all. And we praise Him today. We give Him all, and you know, people say, "Well, I give all to the Lord or to Jesus or something." We give it all, but then they don't surrender their kitchen, their culinary habits, their eating. And sometimes, of course, we overeat, and that is also a sin of gluttony. They don't surrender their vacation time, their leisure time, their bedroom. You know, who they're going to be married with and sleeping with. They don't surrender that, looking at the authority of Yahweh from His Word. And we shouldn't be doing that, but, you know, Messiah paid it all for us. He gave us His sacrifice on the tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago, historical fact. And it was brought by 500 witnesses and even more, as many can testify throughout the thousands of years of what Messiah has done for them. And the Son of Yahweh that is prophesied in Isaiah 9, verse 6, and et cetera, throughout the Scriptures. The One, the King of Kings, who is the coming One, the Commander of all the armies. He is coming soon. And He told us about the pearl of great price, that He sold all to you. You know, for that pearl, a great price. That's what we need to do, is sell out for Him. Sell out to, how am I going to put this? Sell out to the, we're not going to sell out to the world, are we? We're going to sell it all of our worldly ambitions. We're going to sell that, get rid of that. But we sell out to our husband, our betrothed right now to Him, since He has saved us, but we're going to be in His presence, and we're going to be His bride or His wife, a feminine term for some of us men. That's kind of strange for us to think about it that way, but we'll certainly realize the fullness of that, the impact, when we're face to face with Yahweh in the future. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, I should have told you that, 1 Corinthians 6:18, Paul reminds us, this is just one reminder here for you, 6:18 Corinthians, you were bought at a price. Therefore, magnify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Yahweh's. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price, therefore magnify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Yahweh's. But then back to the side of the prophet, the warning one here in the book of the Revelation, chapter 17, as I seek to lift up my mouth like a trumpet and to give this exhortation around the world to each and every person listening today on their MP3 or wherever it might be in the in the secret place, hiding out maybe from an enemy. Or here's an encouragement and exhortation. Don't do this. Don't be involved with all the religions of the world. There are many, many religions, of course, but there's only one true religion. And I can't tell you where to go down the block to turn left or right to this church or that, but reading the scripture, it'll just... And by testing, as you test the spirits, you will go into this synagogue or that church or that assembly somewhere and see the deeds that they do. See the fruit of the Spirit if it's there. Okay, I don't want to... Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. Chapter 18:3, the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Okay, 18:2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Of every unclean or toxic, abominable, hateful bird. Verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, you don't think that's just physical. That's not just worldly and fleshly fornication. All nations drank of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, with Babylon, that is. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We can see that during the winter solstice, the pagan holidays. That merchants make a few bucks off of the pagan holidays, don't they? Even under the of a religious nature. There, even under the banner of that Messiah was born in the 25th of December, which is not true. He was born during Tabernacles, but anyway. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and you receive not of her plagues. And he's voicing the same words, throwing them from Yahweh's mouth, saying the same thing that Paul tells us in Corinthians and all the different epistles, to come out of her. Don't join just any old church. Exodus chapter 20. How can I say that? Don't just join any old church. But Yahweh says it. It's not me saying it. I guess I'd love to go into all these churches if I were in the flesh and just slap people on the back and hug them and, oh, praise Yah. Oh, everybody, it doesn't matter. We're all worshiping the same God anyway, and what does it matter? Oh, praise Him. Let's just have a drink here. Let's just get together and slobber all over one another and jump into a spiritual bed, a spiritual adultery. Oh, boy, I would be in deep, deep if I had ever made my mind up to do something like that, a compromise. I try to stay away from it. I try to be as... careful and cautious, just as circumspect as I can, and be cognizant of or aware of what's going on in some of these churches. Some of the crazy stuff. Well, we don't want to talk about that. We'd be here all day. Exodus 20. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or graven image. It says there in Exodus 20 in the Decalogue, and then in chapter 32 of Exodus or Shemot. 32 verse 1 through 6, but I'm going to pick it up at verse 3. Exodus 32 now, and all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aharon. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf. And they said, this be thy Elohim, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Mitzrayim. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to Yahweh. Sounds like they're inventing their own holidays. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink. And just like in today's churches, we hear a lot about this, they rose up to play. Yes, there will be fun and fellowship. I read over and over at all these different gatherings now. You've got to have those two words in there, fun and fellowship. We're going to really pull out all the stops and paintball guns or something and shoot each other in the face or somewhere. I don't know how that stuff works. Somebody said, well, when you come to my place, I'm going to take you to the disco. I've never been to one. I played rock and roll for 32 years and, you know, went to a few of those events. I've never been to a disco, but that doesn't make me any better than the next person by any means. So let's go now to Deuteronomy. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 about more idolatry here that we just need to be aware of. And I could read for you some citations or examples of things that go on in different fellowships. If they come to my mind, I might tell you. I don't want to run anybody off or come forth as some sort of a doomsayer or a hate crime person. Actually, a hate crime person is one who hates Yahweh and hates his law and doesn't want to be under Yahweh's sovereignty. But anyway, that's another issue. This is your Elohim, O Israel, that brought you up out of Egypt. So ecumenical unity that accepts almost any religious belief or Elohim, almost any ideal of a religious system, except for the Hebrew system, is ecumenical unity is similar to that ancient pagan worship of Elohim and ancient religions. There has to be a pagan Elohim somewhere because it says don't worship them. So one of these Elohim must be a pagan, a false god or Elohim, aren't they? Are we going to instruct Yahweh that, hey, look, it doesn't matter what name we call you. It doesn't matter if you're an image of a snake, we can still worship you no matter what, or the golden calf, no matter what, just to do whatever feels good. Deuteronomy 4:15, take you therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that Yahweh brought, that Yahweh spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. So referring back to the days of Moses there. And actually, he's going to give the Ten Commandments in the next chapter, Deuteronomy 5, that is. But take heed, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that Yahweh spake unto you in Horeb, out in the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl. And this is talking about making a religious statue more than anything here, or at least having some sort of ideology in our life of thinking that something is really hot. It's just more wonderful than anything, and it just makes our hearts so excited. We're more excited about what that is, that statue or that concept or that image, than we are about our family or about our Father in heaven. If it takes priority, then it's an idol if it takes priority over our family and father and fathers. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, beast, and the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them which Yahweh thy Elohim has divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Now that does not mean that we cannot observe the new moon, the crescent new moon. It doesn't mean that we can't look at a moon or at the stars and go to an astronomical observatory and observe the constellations or, you know, stars and the part of the universe that we can see from here in our galaxy, and adjacent planets, Mars, Venus, Jupiter, and Uranus, and so on. If we check those out with an electronic telescope, oh boy, what a pleasure it is! What a pleasure it is to live outside of the city and just be able to where there are no virtually no street lights or house lights, that we can just look up. Or maybe you go out on a camping trip or on a feast trip, look up and see all those stars. We're not going to worship them. We're just going to admire Yahweh's creation that he has done here, his handiwork, and you know, maybe even dream about how someday we will be with him and rule and reign with him, and maybe travel from planet to planet, possibly. Now, that's don't quote me on that one. I don't know whether we're going to do that or not, but that's just sort of a dream there. I don't want to follow science fiction. Then the next citation here is chapter 4, verse 27. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations. And we're almost halfway through here. Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether Yahweh shall lead you, wherever Yahweh shall lead you. So here's the diaspora being prophesied in Deuteronomy 4 by Moshe. Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations, and you'll be left few in number among the heathen. And that's what we're up against there, at the church, the gas station, the school, wherever. And there you shall serve Elohim, the work of men's hands, of wood, stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. And we're up against those keeping the pagan holidays. And they say, why don't you come with us? We're having such a wonderful time. We've gathered all these boughs and having a huge campfire. We're just going to sit around and drink the Yuletide drink, and it'll be nice, you know. But, for what reason? You know, if it's just to talk to one another and communicate a little bit, that's one thing. But on the other hand, if it has to do with the, you know, religious significance of some sort, and we better run from it, whether it's religious, or they say it's religion, or they don't say it is. And also we address the issue of the idols, to not get all hung up that not everything physical is an idol. We don't want to be so spiritual that we're going to ignore the physical things around us that Yahweh's created for his pleasure and for ours as well, for his betrothed wife here, betrothed spouse. Thou shalt have none other Elohim before me, is quoted in Deuteronomy 5 in verse 7. Then verse 8, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them. Now this commandment in Deuteronomy 5 from the Decalogue is one commandment, but there's two portions or two sections to it. So first of all, we're not supposed to make anything, so that's, you could transgress that by making a statue of, say, Buddha. The second part of it is don't bow down to it, so you could be guilty of transgressing this commandment by violating either principle here, either by the manufacture of a statue or by manufacturing and worshiping it. Thou shalt not bow down himself unto them, nor serve them, for I, Yahweh, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. There's the hate crime people there. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Next to Deuteronomy 18:9, and then I'm going to take a quick break there. Deuteronomy 18:9 through 13. When thou art come into the land which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or at least in our day to symbolically do this, or through abortion, to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter. In Hebrew, that's a necromancer. Oh, that's in the next verse as well. Or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. And that would be those into the pharmakia these days, those that have these psychotropic drugs that they prescribe and minister to all kinds of patients to take away pain, at the same time can bring us into the wrong spirit and change us to be a completely different person than what we are known by others to be. So anyway, we have more information on that on the website about the pharmakia, about the website, the drugs, and about people being addicted to these things, to these drugs. Yeah, they're out of the 60s, some crazy drugs that are being administered today and prescribed. Deuteronomy 18:12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto Yahweh. Now, how bad is an abomination? Come on now, Stephen Yah. It just says abomination. I mean, that could be anything. That could be pride. I mean, what's the big deal here? Well, an abomination, according to my friend there, Hezekiah, says, well, it's only just the worst sin we could ever commit. They are an abomination to Yahweh, and because of these abominations, Yahweh thy Elohim does drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with Yahweh thy Elohim. It's like Messiah told us there. Yahushua told us in Matthew 5:48. Matthew 5 says, be perfect, or become perfect. You're not going to instantly be perfect, but by his righteousness, of course, we are covered for a time, but be perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. So that completes the walk there through Deuteronomy. Then we'll go through Ezekiel. Ezekiel 16:32. But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers, instead of her husband, they give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee, the converse is in thee, from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none follows thee to commit whoredoms, in that thou givest a reward, that you give a reward, and no reward is given unto thee. Therefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them. And then let's go up to chapter 22 now. Ezekiel, 22:6. 22:6, Ezekiel, or Kezekiel, behold, the princes of Israel, every one were in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with a stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised my pure things, or separated things, and hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood, and in thee they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee they commit lewdness. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, saying vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, when Yahweh has not spoken. We can also see that reflected in the other chapters there, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, about falsely speaking in the name of Yahweh. I think it's Ezekiel 13 and 14 and 15. Had the notes here, and then now they're gone, so I don't know. No, I don't see that. Okay, then, so let's go to Jeremiah then. Jeremiah chapter 10, then after that Acts and the book of the Revelation. We're getting more than halfway through the podcast here, taking it around the world to our communist enemies, as well as those communist enemies at home. And to all Israel we're speaking today. And don't forget about the 10 virgins that we're going to read just a synopsis of that in Matthew. Okay, Jeremiah 10:9. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphaz. The work of the workmen and the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But Yahweh is the true Elohim. He is the living Elohim and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the Elohim that they have not made the heavens and the earth, the Elohim that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his custom, by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. So that was Yirmiyahu chapter 10. We also find out from Isaiah 2:8 about the customs of the people are futile. You can read that. Yeshayahu chapter 2 verse 8. And now going to Acts chapter 17. Maasa 17, 18 to 25, somewhere in there. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange Elohim, because he preacheth unto them Yahusha," or "he preacheth unto them Messiah and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine, whereas thou speakest, is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers, which were there, spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst, or Shaul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown Elohim.' Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Elohim that made the world and the things therein, saying that he is Yahweh of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." And by the way, in the modern versions, it uses the substitute title, L-O-R-D. But seeing that he is Yahweh is what that really should be. That he is Yahweh of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Then let's roll back the pages to chapter 15. That was 17. So chapter 15. "Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them," and the Jerusalem council here, what are they going to do with these strangers? Here, what shall we command them to do? My sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to Elohim, but that we write unto them that they abstain from four things: from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. Everything else is kosher. Anything else could be done? No, it doesn't mean that at all. There was just four things that needed to be addressed by these former Israelites or these Gentiles, whether they be Greeks or former Israelites. That they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. So we have, of course, have to concentrate on those things as well. To abstain from blood, and that would include transfusions, and whether we eat it or drink it. "For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day." Acts 15:21. And then Simon the sorcerer came along in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where we are commanded to abstain from things polluted by idols. And we've been through so many scriptures here today, starting out there at the beginning with Jeremiah 3:6. We had Paul's letters, of course, 1 Corinthians 5, not to keep company with immoral people, fornicators, adulterers, they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Jeremiah 3:6, about the spiritual idolatry, and Yahweh gave us a certificate of divorce, or divorcement. We went through Hosea, and talked about the Baals out there still existing. The people are still calling upon Baal. We have 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that you were bought with a price. Therefore, magnify Yahweh in your body and your spirit. We went to the book of the Revelation, and we'll be back to it. We've read from Deuteronomy about idolatry, as well as in the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah regarding the pagan holidays. So now we go on to abstain from things polluted by idols. And now we have Simon the sorcerer in chapter 8, going back to chapter 8. And when Shimon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the pure spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the pure spirit." And we need to change that word from ghost to spirit. Saying, "Give me also this power, that I may lay hands, and they can receive the pure spirit." But Kepha, or Peter, said unto them, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of Yahweh may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of Yahweh. Repent therefore this thy wickedness, and pray Yahweh if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And we want to come out of that, the bond of iniquity, and out of the gall of bitterness into the fruit of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. We won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:19, the works of the flesh. Idolatry is the biggest thing. It's the worst issue in there. An idolatry, chapter 5 of Galatians. We will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Also Ephesians 5:5. So either Ephesians 5 or Galatians 5, we find that sin list there.